Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Newark City Schools podcast. My name is Seth Roy and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator. Thank you for listening to the podcast, which you can find by searching for Newark City Schools on SoundCloud and on iTunes, as well as through our website, newarkcityschools.org. Please consider following us on SoundCloud or subscribing on iTunes. I'm going to get right to the interviews this week as they are a little bit longer. First, I talked with Superintendent Doug Ute about this school year, technology in the district, and community outreach. I then spoke with Orchestra Director Chris Lape about the upcoming All-City Orchestra Concert and his first year with Newark City Schools. First, we'll hear from Superintendent Ute. Okay, I'm here with Superintendent Doug Ute. We are just going to talk a little bit about the school year and how it's gone this year, and then about some technology and some other topics. So how has the school year been, and it's now that it's springtime?
Well, I know this sounds weird. It's been somewhat a fast year. I thought the pace of the year was really moving along. And then we hit this long winter that seemed to just keep going. And I think even though we're in April, we're still not out of the winter, it feels like sometimes. But that can make it challenging for us, and I think the district has done very well, our students and staff. We had a period of a month and a half where it's hard to get some continuity in a classroom because of snow days and some things like that. But considering everything, it's been a good school year, and now that we're in April, it will really fly by. We'll be graduating very soon, it'll seem like. The last 9 weeks always flies by fast, but it's been a very good school year. We've been working on some things for the future in our district, and we've been working with a Common Core curriculum for the last 4 years. And we continue to work on that and align our curriculum to the PARC testing, which we're piloting this month in the district. Some tests last week and some this week, and we chose to pilot the testing because we wanted to make sure that, number one, our system, technology-wise, would allow us to do some online testing. Even though it's a small group at a time, we've uncovered some issues that I think we've corrected, and some of those issues deal with the wireless technology that we have. Our challenges with the online testing are certainly going to be testing a large group of kids, in a short window. And that means we'll have a lot of people online at the same time. That means we'll need to have the proper equipment to do so. And that means we'll have to make sure our kids understand technology and their way around a computer so it doesn't become a technology test. And we've ran into some of that. But it's been interesting, and Mindy Vaughn and Maura Horgan have worked very hard with our tech department, aligning our curriculum to the new test and working to make sure that we're prepared. So on our end, when we send information out of our district, it goes. We still have concerns of instituting PARC, the online testing, in such a big way next year that, our voice has been pretty loud to say, we need to stair-step that in. And right now, there's a lot of debate on should we do the online testing next year, and if we do, should it be stair-stepped in a different way than having everybody test at the same time. So we've had a very successful 2 weeks in looking at that.
Is there a barrier to a student sitting down and trying to take a test?
Yeah, there's a big barrier because, an example would be for somebody my age, I know what a mouse is. But for our younger kids, some of them don't know what to do with a mouse because all they have are laptops that have the mouse that are in the computer and they don't drag it around. So that's an example of difference between what kids are used to at home and what they're getting using in our school to take those tests. And then, a big fear of mine is we don't want it to become a social economic issue where, a household may have four or five laptops in there and students have access to them every night. for a household who may not have any technology. And, you know, the tests are actually asking them to maneuver around and the keyboard and some things like that. And we want to make sure it's not a social economic test or an issue that way. And so that's one of the reasons we piloted it, because we wanted to see what issues our students actually have. And some feedback from students and in elementary in particular, some of them had a little bit of trouble figuring out the keyboard. And so we now, you know, we know we have to make sure that those kids get on those computers enough here at school that doesn't become an issue. Non-technology wise, feedback from our students, and I appreciate Mindy and Maura taking the time to, and our principals taking the time to discuss post-test issues with students. And our kids are saying the questions make you think differently. I heard just yesterday that a third grade student said that math is like eighth grade math, and he didn't like it. And so I don't know how he knows how eighth grade math is, but it's a lot more challenging. Questions are worded differently, makes kids think differently, and that's what the Common Core has been all about. And it's been a successful pilot in terms of us uncovering some things that we will be dealing with here in the future.
Now, sticking with technology and the way that things are changing, this year was our first full year for full implementation at the high school for bring your own device. And why has that been something that you as the superintendent and us as a district that we've really pushed?
Well, we want to drive our instruction in a couple different ways. And one of them is through technology. And it's just how kids learn these days. They learn a lot differently than they did in the past. And as the one student said, makes you think differently. And the access to information and the speed of those things are just something that we should be doing and tailor our instruction to the needs of our students. You know, the district chose not to, take the time for two or so years, which some districts do, to just totally in-service your staff and make sure your staff is ready. We just gave our equipment to our staff members at the high school and let them, so to speak, play around with it and become familiar with the technology. And, you know, we ask our staff to rate themselves from 1 to 10. If you're and some of our staff are 8s, some are 9s, and we ask them, if you're a 3, become a 4. If you're an 8, become a 9. And, you know, not everybody's on the same skill level with technology. But, you know, we've been happy with this. It's a snowball effect. And so what we're finding out is, you know, you start a little snowball at the top of the hill, we're rolling it down the hill, and it's getting bigger. So more of our teachers and more of our students are using technology. And we want to make sure that it's not 100% of the time. Some of our teachers are the best at it. You walk in their classrooms and they don't have technology out that day because they're not using it that day. And so I think we've made some progress. I'm a person that would like to see it, the snowball get bigger quicker, but I don't want the snowball to break apart as it's going down the hill either. And so I think our staff and students have done a wonderful job with the technology.
Another part of bring your own device and implementing more technology is also shifting to an online class. And that's something that I know that you're pushing and that we are in the process of developing an online health class. Kind of why is that important in today's world, and sort of where is that going?
Well, I think, when we talk about preparing our kids for life after Newark High School and what does that life mean? And a lot of the kids are going to college and those type of things. And if we're preparing kids to be college ready coming out of high school, and we're not giving them an online experience in any high school, just not Newark High School, in any district, you're not preparing kids to succeed at Ohio State University or a lot of the universities. And I just share with people, if you want to see what colleges and universities are doing, just get online and see their course offerings and the number of courses that they can take online in college, or blended courses where a biology class, the lecture part may be online and the lab part you actually come into. And so, you know, that's where I would like to see our district head is into a little bit more online classes with our teachers developing those classes and supporting them. And so, you know, we're looking at health right now, and we're, you know, it's somewhat of a pilot. That's one area we're looking at, but hopefully this pilot goes well, and I'd like to see it expanded into all disciplines in course officering at the high school. You know, getting back to the college part of it, you know, I attended a meeting with three Ohio State professors last spring, and they shared that each of those, they have study tables online, study groups where the professor is online, answering questions at night, those type of things. And so, you know, our students need to be college ready when they're coming out of Newark High School, and we've got to develop some of those type of things and help their skills.
At the beginning of this school year, moved the administration building from downtown over here to Roosevelt, and were able to save an old building and make it shine. And so now our project is over. What are we doing now to maintain our buildings?
Well, I think it's important to note that, you know, we are so fortunate in the Newark City Schools, in the Newark community, to have buildings that will last way beyond our lifespan. And, you know, they say you build buildings for 50 years. If they said that 50 years ago, that wouldn't have held true. Most buildings that school districts are replacing are, you know, some of them are 100 years old or 80 to 90 years. And so we're fortunate, and we appreciate the opportunity to have new facilities, and we thank our community for that. We've already seen the benefit from moving our administration office into the Mount Vernon Avenue Roosevelt building by partnering with LACA, our ITC site, and the ESC as our tenants, that we generate $100,000 of rental income that we didn't generate before in the district. And all three groups have moved into a better facility to meet their needs. And our professional development space in this building has proved to be just simply awesome. It's a neat building, and it allows our staffs to take the time and to be in a comfortable environment to deliver professional development. From a maintenance standpoint, you know, now that our buildings are built, Dave Altepeter and Larry Williams and Dave's group have really started to focus on maintenance plans for each building, and where buildings, our new buildings, somewhere down the road, and hopefully it's 15 or 20 years down the road, things that we find that go wrong with buildings immediately are roofs or heating and air systems. And so those guys are really taking the time to inspect those areas and properly maintain those so that we can get the life out of those roofs and heating and air systems so that somewhere beyond myself and others here in the district, you know, it'll last longer before you have to do any major repairs.
One of the properties that we're in the process of doing something different with is the old Lincoln Middle School property. What are we doing with that right now?
Yeah, right now, as everyone knows, Lincoln building was demolished about 4 years ago, and a lot of our staff members at the high school, in particular, our school within a school group, has been very active in having kids learn through growing vegetables and things like that. So we've had some gardens up there, and we had this idea that driving by the Lincoln property about 12 months ago, you know, I thought, wow, that'd be a neat place for our high school to partner with that community down on the east side, and in hopes that we would have some community members down there that would actively engage themselves in working with students on how to grow potatoes and or any other vegetable. I compliment our staff with school within a school group that just hopped right on that idea and started looking at grants and things like that to develop that. They were able to obtain a Lindorf grant of just under $20,000 to develop that property, which is awesome because it allows them to put a building down there, a shed that would house their equipment. It allows them to put a fence up around it. Not the entire property. We're probably looking at about a third of the property, if that, for this garden. And that would be happening next year, because this year our students have already done some soil samples and use that as an outdoor lab, and they're going to grow some alfalfa this year on that property to enrich the soil a little bit. And 12 months from now, you'll see some activity with some gardens and things like that. And I've met with students at Heritage that have some plans for that property, and we'd like Heritage and Carson to become involved in that neighborhood property down there. And so we're looking at developing the entire property that the students can use, and it'll be a nice place for the community. As we have worked, Mr. Serino at Heritage and his staff have worked very hard to develop the land behind Heritage. The district put a walking track in there. Newark Heath Rotary, along with Claggett's, donated a shelter house back there. And the Evans Foundation has been wonderful in helping us do some other things back there that not only students can use, but the community can use. So we talk a lot about these are community buildings, and anytime that we can, we're allow our community to use our buildings and grounds.
Keeping with the theme of community outreach, on April 25th, people will see a lot of Newark High School students out in the community during the school day working on a variety of community service projects for the second annual Newark High School Community Service Day. Why is it important for us as a district to encourage students and to help students get out in the community and serve the community?
The two C's the state wants you to have is college and career ready for students coming out of high school. You know, I think our district has adopted the third C, and that's community readiness too. And we live in probably, I would put the Newark and the Licking County community probably in a very elite group around the state of Ohio of community engagement from our local businesses and in our community. There are just numerous examples of so many community members and so many businesses that not only help schools out, but help the community out. We're trying to teach our students how to be a good teammate and be a good teammate in your community and give back to the community. And Baron Smith has organized this at the high school where we'll go out and clean parks and different areas around town. Our students will spend time cleaning those up. Last year behind the YMCA, I know we had a group picking rocks up and doing some things for the city there, and Mayor Hall and his group has really appreciated this and give us some good projects for our students to just understand that it's not all about what you know to get a job, but it's about being a good teammate when you do become employed. And I'm afraid to start mentioning any names of businesses, but if you live here in Newark, you know who I'm talking about. And so I know that if our kids go out and get college educated and those type of things and come back to Newark, they'll be expected in these businesses around here to give back. And so we're doing something that, to be honest with you, it's not measured on a state report card, but it's the right thing to do to teach our kids that. And so we appreciate our students and our staff, you know, relaying that out to our community that we're here to, and we're learning from the people that are helping us.
Finally, sticking with both community engagement and then also going back to technology, this podcast is a new way that we're reaching out to community members, whether it's parents or people who live in the community, students. And we've really worked on changing the way we communicate over the past couple of years. Why did you think it was important for us to get on to social media and to do some of these other communication avenues?
Well, you know, I think a lot of schools traditionally, you know, have put out a communicator four or five times a year, a little school newspaper, so to speak, for information. you know, which is, you know, to be honest with you, that's the way a lot of people used to get their newspaper services, a daily newspaper or something along those lines. And a lot of people get their news elsewhere. Now they go online to read the newspaper, and newspapers have adapted to that. They go on Twitter, they go Facebook, various avenues to get information. Social media for us, and Seth, I credit you because you've done a wonderful job of getting information out to our community through social media. And I know our use of Twitter and our Facebook here in the district, and now your podcast. And next year, hopefully, we'll be doing a few webinars that people can email questions during the webinars on certain topics. We'll pick some topics and try that. And so for us as a district, what social media has allowed us to do is reach a larger audience in a quicker way and at relatively no cost, which is, you know, wonderful for an organization to be able to do that. I think for our community members, it's allowed them, however you get your news, whether you get it online on our webpage, whether you get our Twitter feeds, whether you're listening to a podcast or a webinar, it's just, you look at our communication as a tree, we're just putting more branches on our tree for people to get information on. And, you know, we think we have a lot of good information and our students are doing a lot of wonderful things and we want our community to know. I know one example you can look at is, you know, at a sporting event. And it wasn't long ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, where you would be at a girls' basketball game over at the high school and people are walking around saying, hey, you hear how the boys are doing? You know, and now as a feed on Twitter, you know, you probably have 10, 15 people at a game that are following the boys' game while the girls are playing. And I just think it's a neat way and it's a, you know, I have over 700 followers on my Twitter feed, and it is a one-way communication out there. I don't chat with people back and forth, but I will be at Hillview tonight at a play there, and I will be at the high school at a play, and so I will, you know, tweet that out. And again, from your standpoint, it's allowed the district to communicate those type of things or what's going on in the district. So, a very important process for us, and I think we continue to get better at it.
Okay, that's all we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate the time. Always a great time to be a cat.
Here with Chris Lape, the Newark High School Orchestra Director, and this is his first year at Newark High School. So, well, at Newark City Schools, you also are Orchestra Director at one of the middle schools?
Yes, Wilson.
Wilson, how has your first year been going?
Been going really well. It's been really busy, but it's been going really well. Really nice kids who have really stepped up to the plate to accepting me as a new teacher, and I'm getting a lot of work done. So,
no, one of the, you talked about focusing on performing and getting performing experience this year. Why is that such an important piece of teaching orchestra?
Well, first of all, you know, the kids work so hard to learn new concepts and to, you know, really learn how to play those instruments well, technically and musically. And so, you know, of course we want to showcase that, and they deserve the platform to showcase their hard work. So having performances is, you know, that extra perk to the job. I also think it's really important to get them out into the community. You know, we want the community to see the hard work that all of us are putting in, you know, at the high school and the middle schools. And plus, it can be really fun.
Speaking of performances, next week on Thursday, April 17th, is the All-City Orchestra Concert. You said this is something that has been in a tradition in the past, but maybe hasn't been done for a couple years. What made you want to bring this particular concert back into the rotation?
I think the All-City concert is probably one of the best concerts of the year because we're gathering all of the string students in the district. So grades 6 through 12 will all be on this concert, and it also gives a chance for each grade to perform with each other. So all of our 6th graders will combine to perform as one big orchestra. All of our 7th graders will combine. All the 8th graders will combine. And then the two high school orchestras will perform as well. And so it's, you know, collaborating with other students in the district. The students will get to work with the other teachers that they don't see on a daily basis. And it's going to be really great for the parents and, you know, other students who are younger or older who might be interested in orchestra to really see the progression from first year strings all the way up to high school strings. So it's going to be really great. We have a lot of kids who started in fourth grade and now they're in high school. And they've been playing from 6 to 9 years. And we start in sixth grade now. But I think it's still going to be really cool to see that progression.
One of the ways you're trying to get some newer students and some future orchestra students interested in it is a pizza party beforehand?
Yes, we are inviting all of the fifth graders and their families to come to the concert early. The concert starts at 7 p.m. The pizza party is going to start at 6. The sixth graders would love to host the fifth graders for this dinner so that they can talk about orchestra, you know, all the opportunities that they get to do with orchestra, you know, how cool it is to play their instruments. And so we want the fifth graders to come out and see that. You know, unfortunately, we aren't able to get out into the elementary schools as much as we would like to. And so I think this would be a great opportunity for fifth graders to come and see what it's all about. Parents can learn about the opportunities and all of the benefits that come with music in general, but more specifically orchestra.
During the concert, what are some of the pieces that are going to be played?
Well, we have a lot of great pieces lined up for the sixth graders. You know, they've been playing for about 6 or 7 months total since they first put those instruments in their hands. And they're doing a really great job. We threw some challenging music at them, and they've really stepped up to the plate to learn it and to learn all the new concepts. A couple pieces we're playing. One is called Fiddles on Fire, obviously with string instruments. The fiddle style is a prevalent style. And so it's really fun for them, lots of fast rhythms. They learn some new notes for it. And then String Explosion is just a favorite for any orchestra student, especially young orchestra students. And I've seen many orchestra students in my time perform that piece, and I remember doing it when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And it's just very fun, lots of fast rhythms. The seventh graders are playing a couple of cool pieces, too. One is Yes, I Can, which is a more difficult rendition of the can-can melody that we all learn in beginning orchestra and beginning band and beginning choir. And then a really fun piece called Dragon Hunter that is really has those really driving rhythms. Eighth graders are playing a couple pieces that are really strong and fast, and they describe it as epic a lot. Kind of sounds like epic music. One is called Burst, and the other is called Gauntlet. Kind of has like those Pirates of the Caribbean kind of feel to it. And then, of course, the familiar Final Countdown from the Rocky movies or Arrested Development, if you're familiar with that. The high schoolers are playing some cool pieces. String Orchestra, which is the largest orchestra at the high school. We have about 60 kids in that group. They're playing one of the favorites from their state contest trip. It's called Wood Splitter Fanfare. And then a couple of other pieces that really highlight their musical skills altogether. And then Symphonia, we're performing a piece about pirates. It's not Pirates of the Caribbean, but it kind of has the same flair to it. Lots of really fun sound effects. The cellos will use a sound effect called Artificial Harmonic to recreate the sound of seagulls. And then a sound effect that simulates, you know, the sounds of sword fighting. And I think it's just going to be a really great concert. I think all of the middle schoolers and the high school orchestras are going to sound fantastic.
So that's Thursday, April 17th, 7 p.m. Is there any cost?
There's no cost for the concert. Okay. So like I said, pizza party will start at 6 p.m. for the fifth graders. And then the concert itself starts at 7. It should last. It'll be a little while. We have a lot of kids performing, but I think it'll be great just to see everybody perform all in one place.
And then that's actually not the last chance to hear the orchestra this year. There's one more concert in May.
Yeah, for the high schoolers, we're going to do a really fun concert at the beginning of May, May 8th. You know, I've been working these kids to death. We're preparing two concerts at the same time. It's going to be a Pops concert. The theme this year is movie, TV, and video game themes. So we have some really cool music lined up from Harry Potter and Pirates of the Caribbean. and some really cool stuff from some very well-known movies. Everybody will recognize the melodies. And that's going to be on May 8th at 7 p.m. at the high school. And each of the middle schools have concerts as well. I know at Wilson, our final concert will be on May 22nd. It's going to be a spring concert as well as an ice cream social for our students. And we're going to have a fun little art gallery that students in the entire school have made that kind of tie into the pieces that we're playing.
Wow.
But both Liberty and Heritage will also be having concerts.
Okay. And if you want to hear more about those concerts, check the website, newyorkcityschools.org. Also wanted to touch briefly kind of on your background. Obviously, this is your first year at Newark High School. Before you came here, you've played in different orchestras, mm-hmm. had a chance to play around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I participated in a touring music festival in Austria. For 2 summers. It was a lot of fun. We got to, you know, rehearse and perform in the same places that, you know, classical composers lived and worked, you know, 200-300 years ago. So it was really great to have that opportunity and, you know, to perform in the birthplace of music, basically.
What is your, I guess, instrument specialty?
Yeah, I'm a violinist and a violist. I started playing violin when I was about 4 years old. My mother and grandmother are both professional violinists, so I didn't have a choice. I'm kidding, actually. But I've been playing violin for a very long time. My undergraduate degree is in violin performance as well as music education. And then a lot of my colleagues say, kind of went towards the dark side and started playing viola. And so I, you know, got a full ride to do my master's degree in viola performance at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, which was a great place to be. So I ended up being in school for a long time, but it was well worth it. And with that, you know, I got to perform a lot. I spent 2 summers also in Aspen with the Aspen Music Festival, which is a very prestigious music festival to not only get into, but to attend. And I was fortunate to have a fellowship as part of that, and got to perform along, you know, the world's greatest artists and musicians as part of that festival.
How do those experiences, are you able to bring those into the classroom? And
oh, absolutely. You know, for one, I think it just shows students the opportunities that music can provide them. You know, I tell my students, I don't expect them to major in music. I don't expect them to make, you know, violin, viola, cello, bass their career path in life. But it can bring a lot of opportunities. Yes, there are the benefits in school. But, you know, you can get college scholarship out of it. I have a senior who is a cellist who actually got a scholarship to play the bass at her university. And so I think being able to share those kind of opportunities, I think, is a lot. Personal musical experiences, just, you know, being able to relate it to what we're doing in school, using that to inspire students, to motivate them. And sure, it's, you know, how I teach too. I'm very, have high expectations musically. And I think it's important to have those in order to build a successful program and to produce high quality music.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this second episode of the Newark City Schools podcast. Keep an eye out for next week's show, where I talk with the recipients of the 2014 Leaders for Learning Award. If you have questions about the show or topics you would like addressed in future episodes, please email me at sroy@laca, that's laca.org, sroy@laca.org. Have a great day. It's a great time to be a cat.